Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Thursday, April the 17th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Fred here, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve. Everybody.
So Steve's got a short sleeve shirt on today.
But it is Paisley.
It is Paisley.
It does have, yeah. Small Paisleys.
Yeah, it's Paisley.
Is
Paisley going to come back, or is it back?
Well,
I mean, he's got to be buying these shirts from somewhere. Yeah. Someone's making them.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard President Trump talking about getting a tariff, slapping a tariff on Paisley.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Well, I think he's going to have a revolt inside the MAGA movement. You start slapping tariffs on Paisley.
Is there a lot of Paisley?
And polka dots, too, he said. No. He was talking about that.
Certainly on flannel. There's a lot of flannel in the MAGA movement.
All right, Steve, you have the... You said you have the skinny on the Apollo.
Oh, you guys were talking about Apollo. Sure. And someone asked, did they all go to the moon? So the purpose of the Apollo program was to get a man to the moon and return him safely home. But, for example, Apollo 1, they had a terrible, tragic fire on the launching pad. It killed three of the astronauts. And then the early missions were things like trying out the Titan rocket. So they'd launch it and just have it unmanned. The first couple were unmanned. Then they had them practice the docking of the LEM, all of the stuff they practiced. And then they set a couple flights up that just orbited the moon and came back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Apollo
8 and such. And then finally Apollo 11.
Those were unmanned missions around the moon?
No, they were manned.
Okay.
Remember the picture of the Earthrise? That was one of those manned lunar missions. They didn't land on the moon.
Right.
But so Apollo 11 was the first.
That was a whole other technical hurdle.
Yeah. Can we slingshot you around the moon and use that to get us back home? What happens in that, 45 seconds or so or 3 minutes, whatever, when you're behind the moon and you're out of contact with NASA?
And nobody knew what was – well, until they circled the moon, nobody really knew what was on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, right? I mean, I didn't think –
Pink Floyd did.
It was. I think there was – a lot of people thought there was a Nazi base.
Could have been.
On the dark side of the moon.
I've seen some movies. No, but that's –
That is true. That was one of the beliefs. I know you're looking at me.
I had not heard that theory before. Do you subscribe to that? No. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Are you kidding? What kind of dreamer do you think I am?
But there was a Marriott.
And a Dollar General.
Dollar General.
The dark side of the
first
moon.
First one's on the moon.
Actually, three.
Yes, three. You know,
within a mile of each other.
All right. Hey, so that's very interesting. I'm sure I knew that at some point in my life. We probably covered it in sixth grade or something like that, but I had forgotten all that.
Well, remember there was... I shouldn't go because I can't remember all the details. But the first round of NASA launches were single.
Like Mercury or Flynn. Gemini?
Yeah, Mercury. Well, Mercury and then Gemini and then Apollo.
Okay.
Mercury was single, like the first man to orbit the moon, orbit the Earth.
Shepard.
John Glenn.
Mm. And then there was Gemini, which was the two men, and they did spacewalks and that kind of stuff, and then Apollo.
They sent a dog up there. That was the Russians.
That didn't end well for the dog.
Yeah.
Really, what happened?
He died.
Is he still up there?
No. They
brought him back?
They brought the capsule back, but okay. Yeah.
Well, you act like I should know that.
No, I'm sorry.
I forgot about that one.
Well, and the dog's name was Alpo. So, I mean, you draw your own conclusion.
It was like a...
You know the name of it? Steve, yeah,
I'm such a geek.
I'm impressed.
Leica. It was the name of the dog.
I'm using that as a trivia question next week.
Yeah, look it
we'll
up.
See who's paying attention.
Yeah.
I just want to start singing B-I-N-G-O.
You mean.
But it wasn't bingo.
Leica was
It was Alpha.
L-I-K-S. Or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So moving on.
Yes.
Moving on.
The Democrats continue to hitch their wagon to winners. Mm-hmm. HHS, the Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security, tweeted out this tweet. Kilmar Obrego Garcia has a history of violence and was not the upstanding Maryland man the media has portrayed him to be. According to court filings, Garcia's wife sought a domestic violence restraining order against him, claiming to be he punched, scratched, and ripped her shirt, among other things. Mm-hmm. So, and this is, I guess it's an alleged abuser, but this is put out by the Homeland Security office, so it's not like somebody's making this up. And they have the complaint, picture of the complaint.
And, but now, Fred, we did mention this story in the first hour. Fred also mentioned, yeah, but now she wants him back.
Yeah. So the Democrats were playing a video of her the other day. Got her, you know, bring my husband home.
But that, now that's not unusual. My understanding is that's not unusual in some abuse cases where the woman is torn between being afraid but then wanting her husband to be with her. So sometimes they drop charges, and so I don't know what happened in these particular instances. But
well, in a related story, the Babylon Bee is reporting that American hostages in Gaza are disguising themselves as MS-13 gang members, so Democrats will fight to bring them home.
The Democrats, this is not, listen, you've got to have more going for you than trying to defend savage gang members.
It is.
This is bad for them. I don't know who, I don't know who's in charge. Maybe Biden's still in charge, and that's why this is happening.
Next story, Steve.
All right. I don't know if this is cracks in the MAGA wall, if you could say that, but I think it would be generally understood that the most fervent among the MAGA crowd are those that were arrested and have been in prison for several years because of the Capitol riot. Well, it's being reported in The Hill that the J6 prisoners are getting a little, they say the word is vexed, with the Trump administration, because even though he did give them the federal clemency, he pardoned them, they're still in because of local charges. But they don't believe that he's delivering on his campaign promise to pay back their prosecutors for weaponizing the... So they haven't gone after them. I saw a tweet from Dan Bongino, who's the deputy director of the FBI, who said, don't mistake you not being able to see progress for there not being progress, because a lot of stuff happens behind the scenes. But the J6, I don't know if that's a crack in the MAGA wall, because there's a story we did just a little while ago about people flocking to MAGA. Americans, I think we talked about it.
Yeah, I don't think this is, I mean, this is still a tragedy what's happened to the vast majority of these people. Now, they are, so some of them are still in jail because of local charges. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, the president only has the power to forgive federal charges.
Yeah.
The Washington, D.C. Capitol Police.
Well, I'm shocked that Washington, D.C. would continue to go after these folks. They're so fair-minded.
Yeah. Hey, we had a ruling come down this morning from a judge, Leonie Brinkema, in Alexandria, Virginia. This judge has found that Google has held an illegal online ad tech monopoly. Google has a monopoly on the way that ads are run online. And the judge says, maybe time to break up Google.
Wow. Well, now breaking up Google, that would be, like, massive. Now, the judge is threatening to – I mean, the judge can't do that, though,
the
right?
The ruling could allow prosecutors to argue for a breakup of Google's, at least their advertising products. So there's two products that things that they the judge says that they have a monopoly on. The first is called a publisher ad server. Basically, it's the server that helps Google decide which ads to show on their website to target based on things. And then also they had their ad exchange server, which is where advertisers buy advertising.
Okay. I don't understand any of that, but okay.
The process by which their ads, the judge says they've done it by buying up competitors. And
but to break up Google, that would have to be through government prosecution, right? I mean, a judge can't break up a company.
I don't remember how Ma Bell went down, but it would be the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Ma Bell. The Bell Company that owned all the telephone.
The telephone system. A lot of people, younger people, don't remember this or know it, but the Bell Company was a monopoly for the phones. You use the phone, it was the Bell, and then they broke it up into Bell South and
Baby Bells.
Yeah, Baby Bells, and then finally they just were squashed by the revolution on handheld phones.
Verizon and that kind of stuff, yeah, for sure. All right, I've got a couple of studies that came out that I think are kind of interesting. I'll be covering these at for American Family News, but I thought I'd bring them up here. A study is revealing that young Americans have a profound shift that's happening in their lives. They're walking away from churches, synagogues, and mosques in record number while maintaining personal spiritual beliefs and practices. In other words, they believe in God, but not in church. And a second study, which finds that Americans are leaving organized religion for personal truth, is what the study says. Leaving organized religion in search of personalized faith perspectives or syncretism, which Ed, you can define that, right?
Yeah, syncretism is the mixing.
It's a Olympic.
It is.
It's Olympic pool dancers.
Yes.
Am I right?
That is.
Am I right? Do they not do synchronization?
Yes. They do synchronized swimming. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Where they join together to do parallel
movements.
They're
pretty good at it.
And according to this study, there's a church underwater that they attend.
Syncretism is the joining of, combining of various religious beliefs into a religious system that's different, distinct from its parts.
It's like the buffet. You get to pick and choose what you like.
I read a little bit about these studies, and as an example, these people are leaving churches that preach against the sin of homosexuality.
Yeah.
So they want to be part of a belief system that believes in a God who is okay with sexual perversion.
Right.
So they want to bring their worldly beliefs.
Growing. Excuse me, friend. They're not growing. They're dying. Organized.
Mainstream.
Let me explain myself here. the liberal churches are dying because they don't believe in anything. And that's the United Methodist Church, for example, just split up because the churches that do believe in the Apostles' Creed and, the Bible and teachings about human sexuality that have been around for 2,000 years, those churches are going to grow, and they left the denomination.
They're not called global Methodists.
Yeah, yes. So But this trend by Americans in particular, and the Europeans left a long time ago, they're basically atheists.
Yep.
Atheists and agnostics dominate Europe now. So, and Muslims. A lot of Muslims. But even the Muslims are backslidden, which is a good thing, actually. But this idea of moving toward individualized spirituality, as they call it, that's been trending in America for 30 years or so. And here's why, is because people don't want to be told how to live. But they don't want to say they're atheist Americans. That's unpopular too. So you don't want to. So what you do is you try to say, you'll hear this all the time, especially from entertainers. They'll say, or politicians, especially the pop culture. They'll say, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not into organized religion. Well, you'll hear that over and over and over again. What that means is I get to make up everything myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to follow a dogma. I don't have to follow the Bible or a religious creed. I get to make it up as I go along, but then I get to, you know, sit with my legs crossed and raise my palms and say, I believe in a spirituality, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it goes undefined. If you were to ask these people who say, I believe in spirituality, well, what if you give me five things of these things I believe, you know what I'm saying? And they couldn't give it to you.
Either that or they could, even though they're saying, I don't believe in dogma.
But
I do have these beliefs that I think are right.
But they don't want to tell you, they want to subscribe to, everybody gets to make up their own value system. As long as it agrees with them.
Yeah. I just want to say this, that while it is technically true that you can be a Christian all by yourself, okay, you have an individual relationship with God, it is not a biblical idea that you can be a Christian without belonging to a church.
Is it true that God builds your mansion in heaven on a desert island? You get to spend eternity by yourself? If that's
No. Listen, the New Testament is all about Christian community. It is how God helps us grow. It is how we are allowed to express the increasing capacity for love for other people. It is not a biblical idea to not belong to a church. And that does go across the grain of what you're talking about, Tim, where these people want to be Christian or something else, call themselves something and say, but I'm not telling anyone else how to live their lives, and I'm going to do this on my own. Well, that is not a biblical idea. I don't know that that should be shocking to people, but you cannot read the New Testament without seeing we and each other. That is the way God designed it, and it is called the body of Christ for a reason. The Apostle Paul talks about how we are all individuals, members of one body. So for those who are considering that, I would just say you can technically have a relationship with God by yourself, but Christianity, as defined by the Bible, is not that.
Right. The New Age movement, that took off like in the 60s and 70s and 80s. The New Age movement, it's Eastern mysticism.
Right.
A lot of it's undefined. Again, I said there's no tenets of these things we believe, like in individual's spirituality. So that way you avoid, you don't violate anything because there are no commandments to violate.
Nothing to violate.
No. So in the Christian teaching, religion, faith, you know, we the Orthodox, people who actually believe things, you know, you say, well, the Ten Commandments is from God and I got to obey them. Mm-hmm. The Sermon on the Mount is from God through Jesus Christ. I got to obey that.
Right.
Or I got to try every day. So, but the person who's individually spiritual, quote, they're not going to be bound by those rules, okay?
Inconvenient, Tim.
They're inconvenient. That puts a moral code on them that they don't want.
Right.
They don't want those shackles, okay? So they just say, well, I'm spiritual. Well, it's undefined.
I believe in a higher power.
You'll get that too.
Yeah.
Well, what is that higher power? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't do you any good.
And you can define it however you want.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll define it however I want.
All right. You're listening to, let me tell folks, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues and the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, Tim, Ed, Fred, and Steve. We have about 6.5 minutes left on this Thursday, April 17th edition. Go ahead, Steve.
I just was going to say God by his very nature is relational.
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, in God, it is not good for man to be alone.
Right.
I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Everything about God is relational.
Yes. Good point.
here's something. Well, let's do this. Last night in Washington, D.C., they had the annual Easter dinner, the federal Easter dinner, not federal, but the Washington's Easter dinner. The president was there, and a lot of
our
friends.
They have that every Easter?
They do.
Okay.
A lot of our friends were there. Gary Bauer, I know, went. Robert Jeffress was on his way there.
I saw the picture of them praying for President Trump.
There was a picture that was published a week or so ago. This was last night. They were back. And I want you to let you hear, maybe they did another picture last night. Could be. Anyway, I'd like you to hear a little bit about from Donald Trump. This is him speaking at the, he spoke for an hour at this event. And while somebody does read.
Why so short?
I know, right?
He usually goes two.
While people do write his speeches for him, I don't think he will say anything in a speech he doesn't believe. And this is what he said in this last speech, cut eight.
Nearly 2,000 years ago, during the sacred week, the living Son of God entered Jerusalem in triumph. Soon after, the Savior of mankind, who brought truth and light into the world, was betrayed, arrested, and tried, beaten, and nailed to a cross and crucified. For our sake, he gave up his life, and as the very great Reverend Billy Graham once said, God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, I love you. 3 days later, Christ's followers found the empty tomb. Jesus had defeated darkness and death and promised new life to all of humankind. And that's what we celebrate each year at Easter as we joyfully proclaim on Sunday, he is risen. The death and resurrection of Jesus are the essence of the Christian faith.
Well, I'm very glad to hear the president say those words. It's important to recognize Easter. The majority, at least, of self-identified religious people in this country are Christian. And it's good for our, I like it when our nation honors the Lord.
The White House put out a spectacular Easter statement on, you know, honoring Easter, observing Easter, just full of this kind of stuff. And I was talking to Gary Bauer yesterday, and as is proper, and he does not discuss his individual private conversations with the president. So I posed the question like this. I know you can't tell me conversation you've had with the president if he indeed is saved, has accepted Jesus or not, but let me ask it this way. Were you surprised at the gospel presentation in the White House visit? No. Okay. He said that the bullet that he dodged fundamentally changed the man.
Yeah. We hope that.
He didn't dodge it.
Well, yeah.
True. It was a miraculous chain of events.
Yes.
I know you didn't mean that it was.
You're absolutely
Steve,
right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But I mean, okay. He turned his head at a millisecond less or more. He's dead, uh-huh. And we'd all have to watch that horrible story unfold on international television.
Yeah, but it would have torn our country apart.
Oh. Yeah, but he turned his head at the.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? To show anyway.
Yeah,
I know you weren't saying that, but that's just.
Well, he praised God for that.
You're saying that miracle that occurred that day. Touched President Trump in a profound way.
It refocused him, and he has credited God with that several times. Yeah. So.
Yes, he has.
And our hope is what he just read, he has taken personally.
Yes.
Because it's a personal relation to Jesus Christ. However, I want to add, those words I do not believe would have been spoken by Joe Biden.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
They would find that offensive.
Yeah.
No, they would, because you'd be saying, well, So it's exclusive, huh?
Yeah.
It's not diverse and equitable.
Last year, Biden put out about a three-paragraph, like 50-word observation of Easter. The same day, it was like a three-page observation of Transvisible Day or whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to the program today. We will be live on Monday. We're going to celebrate with our families like you are and our fellow church members Easter as we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here Monday.